This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Join the show. The number is 603-283-6160.
That's 603-283-6160. We're going to get back into it. I know you had some, we're following up on another point here, Bear, about privileges, but we are a call-in talk show, so we're going to go to the phones here. We have Skeeter on the line in California here. Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yo, it's your boy, the Libertarian Fearmonger Slayer. Sir Skeeter Lot.
You're not our boy, but you're a caller to the show, and go ahead with your call.
I was talking to my fans. Shout out to that Amish boy. You know who you are.
You got one fan. All right, congratulations. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call on Membership Talk Live. I wanted to call in to prove to you libertarians that you guys don't really want freedom from the U.S., but I think we want
freedom from all coercion, institutionalized coercion, whether they be calling themselves the United States, the U.S., the USA, the state of New Hampshire, the state of California, the East India Tea Company. Yeah, anybody. We don't want them to be able to use violence to extract wealth and to extract obedience from peaceful people. I mean, I don't want to speak for you guys, but that's, you know, when I say we, I think you guys would agree with me on that.
I also want $1 trillion, but that ain't gonna happen.
A lot of people thought slavery would never go away, and chattel slavery is done. Now there's a different kind of slavery these days. But anyway, what was your point? What were you trying to say there, Skeeter?
You guys aren't slaves. You can leave.
Not without asking for permission. If you have to ask master for permission to leave the plantation, then you are not free.
Well, unless you're worth over $2 million, you don't really need permission.
What are you talking about?
Well, unless that's fine. There's not really any permission. I mean, well, first,
do you know what a passport is? Have you ever traveled outside of California to go to another nation?
Yeah, of course, but you can renounce citizenship. You consented to this is what I'm getting to. I'm getting to the point where you consented to citizenship.
No.
But I first wanted to address
prove
your
extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
I can tell you how they prove it in Ed Brown's case.
You remember your boy, the billionaire Bitcoin cash shill, Roger Ver? And I want to explain why he has to pay exit fees.
No. You already made a claim, and I'm asking you to prove it. You said you have agreed to citizenship. You've consented to citizenship.
This is just an example, but it applies to everybody, right? It's because everybody consents to being taxed as a citizenship, First off, I'm not even bringing up your parents. Are you denying your parents' consent to you for you to be a citizen?
My parents can't consent for me.
Okay, so they can't make that consent for you when they have you. Are you saying that?
I'm not even going to use that. Okay, what are you going to use?
What's this guy's point?
Yeah, the fact that...
I haven't figured it out yet. I think he's saying that you consented to citizenship, and I'm telling you that's BS, and he hasn't given me one shred of evidence for it yet. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, the fact that there's renunciation at any time before you earn even $1.
The fact that there's some political process called renunciation doesn't mean you consented to citizenship.
Would you... Yeah, because...
Where is your evidence?
The U.S. is collective property of this democracy, of the people.
Do you have evidence that an individual in this room consented to so-called citizenship?
Yeah, the fact that you guys don't leave when you can.
That is not evidence of consenting to citizenship.
Would you rather have when you were born?
Is there a document somewhere?
Like an immigrant?
Did somebody sign that document?
Would you rather have the government treat you like an immigrant when you're born?
I don't want the government to do anything. I don't want them to exist at all. I think they should just go away.
You don't have the right. This is collective land.
You don't tell me what this is. That's just your belief.
The impression that U.S. territory.
Right, he's just going on and on and on. And I asked for evidence, and I asked multiple times, and he did not have it. He made a claim, and I said, "You got to back up that claim. It's an extraordinary claim. You claim that there's some sort of an agreement, that there's some kind of contract, that there's something that you could point to say that we have agreed to citizenship."
You know, it would be interesting.
There's not. Thanks for the call.
If people that are living here on this land they call Keene would send right to no request to the Keene executive branch, let's say the mayor's office, asking them to, what evidence do you rely on that I am a inhabitant or a, you know, corporate whatever, you know, according, you know, as described in your, you know, section one of your town charter, your city charter.
Maybe they would say, you've registered to vote.
Well, that's fine, whatever. But it would be very interesting for them, for ask them for the information. I actually did a, so I got a traffic ticket in New Hampshire in like 2012. And one of the things I did was I did a right to know request. Actually, I did a Freedom of Information Act request. And to the Attorney General in New Hampshire, asking them for what evidence they had that I was subject to the New Hampshire Motor Vehicle Code, RSA, whatever. And just simply because I was on the land they call New Hampshire. And they denied the request and said, actually, I had to like do it like four different times because they just kept on saying, we don't know what you're talking about, or we don't understand, or, you know. So but finally they said, well, we don't have that document on file. We're denying your request because we do not have that document on file or in our records or something. Just, same thing when I asked the town of Henniker, you know, what evidence do you have that I'm subject to your, you know, your whatever code that they were citing? You know, we're denying your request because we don't have those documents.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this. We are presumptively subject to whatever code that they offer. Now, that doesn't mean we have to accept their offer. And I'll tell you what. In fact, I'll give you two case law that proves what I'm saying, or at least give support. So the things that they offer us are called statutes, right? They say you're subject to this statute because you're living on the land of New Hampshire, correct?
Well, they never say living on the land. They say living in New Hampshire.
They don't even, in fact, they don't use the word living. They use reside.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, reside.
Reside or
a
presence.
Legal term. That's a legal
term. That's a legal term, right? A reside, when you're residing in New Hampshire, what that means is that puts you in the class of a 14th Amendment citizen.
Correct.
Because the word reside is in the 14th Amendment. Right? The citizens of the United States are those who are born or naturalized in the United States and residing in whatever state that they're in. So if you reside in New Hampshire, guess what you've given up by definition? You've given up your citizenship for the state of New Hampshire, your constitutional Article 4 citizenship. And you have consented to be a citizen of the United States, which of course is the District of Columbia, as we all know. Right? So what's my point here? My point is, well, the original one is that when they offer us a statute, say they say you're subject to RSA, whatever, XYZ, what they're really saying is we like to contract with you and we're offering you a contract. Statutes are contracts by legal definition. I'll give you two cases that says that. The first is the Floyd acceptances. It's page 74, U.S., book 74, U.S., page 666, all right? It says, statutes are acts authorizing the making of contracts with the government, and anyone who's entering into such a contract must look to the statute under which it is made and see him for himself that his contract comes within the meaning of the law, okay? So if somebody says to you that you're subject to a certain statute, then what they've done is they've given you terms, offering terms.
What's the consideration? Like, what's the benefit to me?
Well,
because most statutes are all about control.
Right, it is. It is about control.
Mm-hmm.
And the control is that they're offering you something that you don't know its value. For example, they're saying, get out of your motor vehicle. That's a contract. Why? Because a motor vehicle is defined as a conveyance moving on the highways in the regular course of business, you know, transporting and carrying goods and persons for hire. So if you consented to the idea that you have a motor vehicle, then they've just gotten advantage over you. Let me go over the second Supreme Court decision that tells you that.
Well,
it's
of course,
destined.
How many people have gone and unknowingly signed up for the driver license,
right. Correct?
Which says that you basically consented to the entire motor vehicle code and all these rules that, of course, you've never read that
right.
No one has
and,
ever read.
And when you sign that contract, guess what happened? You lose your constitution. Right? Because
sure.
Because you've contracted out of the Constitution. And that's why when you go to court, there is no constitutional rights.
And that's an adhesion contract.
That
Let's
is,
be really
that
clear
is a,
about that.
It is an adhesion
what
contract.
What is an adhesion
It means
contract?
A contract that is so heavily one-sided, there is no benefit to one party.
Right. It's a constructively fraudulent contract.
Well, right. Not only is it fraudulent in that it's never presented as a real contract, it
right.
is presented under the threat of duress, meaning that most people
right.
know... inherently that if they drive around for long enough without one of these picture cards that the state is issuing, the driver license, that there's a good chance some psychopath with a gun is going to possibly run them off the road and shoot them to death for doing that.
Sure.
You know, that there's
okay.
that possibility. And so, therefore, they go and they jump through these hoops. They sign a document that they don't know what it's talking about. They check the box saying they're a U.S. citizen. In fact, I just went through this. The driver license with my name on it from New Hampshire is expired, and so I had to go and renew that. So I went down there, and when I checked the U.S. citizen box, I attached a 2-page statement about what citizenship is, and some of the things we've covered here tonight talked about state citizens versus federal citizens, and
yep.
these different court cases that outline sure. that the definition of U.S. citizen is actually three different definitions according to a court case Hooven, I think.
Yeah, that's the United States
in the
yeah.
Supreme Court. So I put this whole thing in there, and the lady's like, she starts reading. She starts reading through it. She's new. I think she's like new within 2 months. So she had to contact the higher ups to find out. Well, what do I have to do with this? Because I said she was trying to say, well, I don't think we can accept this. And I said, well, I want you to.
My
put
wife
this
went
in
through
my
the same
file.
Exact thing about 8 months ago.
Yeah, I want you to put this in my file when you file
and
whatever
a contract or
whatever
yeah,
it is, whatever
right.
it is.
Well,
that
call
they
it
have.
By what it is, and I'll give you a second.
So she called. She called back.
Yeah.
To whoever the supervisor was, and then she went back there for some time, and then she finally came out with the guy who was the supervisor, and he says, it's fine, we'll just put it in, we'll file it under others. So they scanned it in, and presumably
yep. that's a part of your contract.
It is in the system.
Right. So the other, just for the record, okay, I just want to read another Supreme Court quote, because that tells us that statutes are definitely contracts. Right. It says, this is United States Trust Company versus New Jersey. Says, in general, comma, a statute itself is treated as a contract when the language and circumstances evince a legislative intent to create private rights of a contractual nature enforceable against the state. All licenses are contracts, right? You agree? You have to pay a fee. That's your consideration. You get some sort of benefit to it.
Protection.
For example, carrying a firearm for mm-hmm. the performance of your duties. And you sign your signature, and the other party, which is the state, also signs their signature, right? Those are all contracts. Now, let me ask you this. Where's the law that says I have to contract with the state for an entitlement in order to exercise my rights under the Constitution?
If you're exercising a right, you don't need to contract.
There is no law, right? There is no law that says I have to get a license to carry in order to exercise an entitlement.
Well, all these contracts essentially are, there's a guy named Curtis Richard Kallenbeck. I don't know if you ever heard of him, Bear Arms, but he talked a lot about it's an offer you can't refuse because you don't even know it's an offer.
Exactly.
And people right. have no clue it's an offer. In fact, when the one of the first things I say to most police officers is when they approach me and they offered a contract with me, I say, I reject your offer to contract with me. Usually it's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I just say, well, I'm rejecting your offer to contract with me.
Now, in the case of a cop, they have no idea about any of this
stuff.
Don't.
Sometimes they do, sometimes
they don't. It's actually something that the first time I went into court in like 2007 when my tenants had a couch out in the yard, if you watch the video of me getting arrested, Literally, the arrest happens within the first few seconds of the quote-unquote trial. The judge tells me to have a seat, and I say, are you making an offer? Because I'd been reading a lot about this stuff about, you know, they're always making offers to you. This is always a negotiation, things like that. And he had me arrested instantaneously as those words fell out of my mouth. Yeah, I was arrested and charged with contempt of court. And then they took me back into a secret tribunal chamber, which was out of public view. And they proceeded to go through the trial. And I was charged with two more charges of contempt of court for a couple of other things that were, you know, ridiculous. But, yeah, so, like, you know, asking that question got me put in handcuffs in that particular case.
Usually when you're arrested and put in handcuffs fairly shortly into your, you know, trial or court special appearance, it means you're doing the right things. Because what would happen with me
is when
they would call the name, they would say, Joseph Francis Noon, which is the name on the birth document.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, I'm not that entity. That's a dead entity. That's a name on a piece of paper. And there was one where they hold it up and it had the date of birth with it, and it's got a picture, my picture. And I go, who put my image with that name and date of birth? I want to know who that is. This is identity theft. I demand to know who
that
is.
You didn't consent to that.
And I didn't consent to this. and I'm telling them, I'm not that dead entity. You're looking for a name on a piece of paper. That's not me. And they're like, we're holding you in contempt for a psychiatric evaluation.
Oh God!
And I just had a lot of fun with the shrink because she was just, you know, a career, you know, idiot, and of course the shrink that works for the court system is one that, you know, can't get a job in the, you know, in the you know, private marketplace. So, you know, they're extra, you know, thick. Anyways, and entitled. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And basically, the short story is at 4:30 they bring me back up into the courtroom, and the only one that was in the courtroom was my girlfriend at the time.
You were there all day.
All day. You know, I got, like, you know, hauled away at, like, you know, 9:10 in the morning, and they did feed me pretty good, I got to say that. But they, when I get back in the courtroom, they just dismissed it. They dismissed everything.
And in front of no one, right? Everybody was cleared out at that
Everybody
point.
Was cleared out. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's what got me held in contempt. I said, I'm not that entity. But since I'm here, if there's a man or woman that has a claim against me, I'm here to settle a claim. So who has a claim against me? I'm here to settle it. Mm. I got to ask again, who is the victim? Who is the injured party? Who has a claim? And finally, someone says the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I says, thank you. I would love to speak with Mr. or Mrs. Commonwealth of Massachusetts
on the stand.
Settle this claim with them or clear up a mistake. And he's like, take them away.
Oh, man.
That was Springfield, Mass.
Which I think is around about where you're from.
That's right? Exactly where the where my situation ended up. Yeah.
Right there in Springfield, that big building where they have, like, the registry of deeds and stuff.
Yeah, that's the one.
So on the side of that building, it says, "Freedom is obedience to law is freedom.
Obedience to law is liberty."
Oh, it's liberty. That's right. That's what it says.
And you know what it says in the court house in Greenfield? It says. Law secures liberty without license. And there they are charging people without licenses, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's, by the way, the idea, the concept of having a license is a very twisted concept, but it's one that it's important to understand because it is, in a way, good for us. It's good for the libertarian.
How's that?
And it's good for the people. And the reason is, the way that the license is construed, it's construed as a privilege. And I'll read to you what the Massachusetts Constitution says about privileges. It says, no man or corporation, have any other title to obtain advantages or particular exclusive privileges distinct from the community than what arises from the consideration of services rendered to the public. So a license is a license to render services to the public in every single case. True. You find me a license that doesn't fit that description.
Mm-hmm.
Because a license is the exclusive privilege for the rendering of services to the public. For example, the license to carry a firearm means you get to be a security guard. That means I get to hire you from off the street. You have the benefit of serving me, and I have the benefit of being served as one of the people. Right? That license that you have for example, a dentist to pull teeth does not impair my right to pull my own tooth. The right that a doctor has, not a right, the privilege, the license exclusive privilege that the doctor
has. LRN.FM.
A second here, I had to hit the dump button. even though you, I think you are a doctor, you have to use more medical terminology.
Yeah. All right.
And even then, in the world of the FCC, doing anything that has to do with like excretory parts should probably just stay away from it in general.
Let's say
where the sun don't shine would be fine way to.
So
say
if a physician were to do a DRE, which is a digital rectal examination, they need a license. Is that true? If I want to find cancer and I have to do a manual breast exam, I need a license. Isn't that true? Because that is an exclusive privilege that I get from my license to serve the public.
Well, I don't think that you should have to, okay? Because that is what the gang is saying. They say, well, we're here to protect, you know, the people, or whatever.
That's what they use,
But if I want to hire a shade tree mechanic or a shade tree doctor or whatever, somebody that doesn't have a license, but I trust that person because I know they've done good work before or whatever, and we were in a situation during COVID where a lot of people in the medical field were getting their licenses pulled from them because they weren't going along with the prescripted kind of
narrative.
Yeah. And those people are still doctors, they're still.
I get the argument. Yeah. Right. And I agree with your argument. But from a perspective of knowing how your enemy fights and thinks, this is how we have to approach it. We have to approach government as if, hey, Big Brother's out there looking out for us. They're watching out for us. They're making sure all those people who work and serve us are properly licensed and properly trained and properly vetted to serve us, which means that we are not subject to those licenses. Right. And here's another reason that we're not subject to those licenses. And that's in Article 5 of the Massachusetts Constitution, which says, by the way, that all power reside originally in the people and it's being there and being derived from them. The several magistrates and officers of government are our substitutes and agents and at all times accountable to us.
There's wording like that in the New Hampshire Constitution as well. I suspect in a lot of constitutions.
So, for example, let me give you another example here. My power to defend myself is infinite, okay? I have the power to defend myself anytime.
Hold that thought. Okay, we'll continue. We'll talk about power and defending oneself. And you can join us here as well. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Of course, a lot of this stuff is stuff you have to make a stand on. And they don't like it when you do that. They don't like it when you are working outside of the system, not asking them for permission to just live your life. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville is blasting Wednesday's announcement of a new round of $1 billion in aid to Ukraine. He suggests the U.S. may now be backing a losing war effort, noting Ukrainian President Zelensky's recent move to oust his Minister of Defense.
You don't fire your Minister of Defense if things are going well. It's like firing your defensive coordinator. Something's going wrong.
The U.S. on Wednesday announced hundreds of millions of dollars more would be going to help with emergency and humanitarian needs, as well as another $175 million toward military military weapons support for the Ukrainians. After a Supreme Court victory and being reinstated to his football coaching position, Joe Kennedy has submitted a letter of resignation to the Bremerton School District in Washington State. An attorney said in a letter, "We have come to learn of serious allegations of retaliation against Coach Kennedy by the school district." Kennedy had previously been fired for praying on the field. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, "Just try it"? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Of course, you can bring up absolutely whatever you want. We've been focusing on some esoteric things, differences between rights and privileges. This shouldn't be esoteric. This shouldn't be hidden information only for the few, but it seems like it is. We got into a discussion. It's Ian Bare Arms and Jay Noon in the studio here with us tonight. Bare Arms is our guest host. He's got a lot of experience dealing with the Massachusetts courts specifically because they've prosecuted him. And so far, unfortunately, successfully, a jury did find you guilty of the count, as I recall, of possession of a firearm without a license.
Yes, correct.
Which is apparently a felony in Massachusetts. So yep. You're facing 18 months. Is that a minimum?
That's a minimum
down there.
But that's only if it's fully adjudicated and goes to a conviction. At this point, I think they've messed up enough where there's a pretty good chance that I'll be successful on appeal.
You were able to stay out upon appeal, which is fairly unusual.
Fairly unusual.
We're obviously hoping the same thing will be true in my case on Monday, as I have a sentencing coming up in the Crypto 6 case, which again is another victimless case where they're accusing me and some of my friends of essentially selling Bitcoin without a government permission slip, without a license.
Right.
Which again, I don't think you need a license even under their licensing scheme to do these things. And so I think the whole idea of licenses is ridiculous, and we just need to abolish them. And that's what I'd like to see happen here in New Hampshire. I want to see whatever licenses New Hampshire has, because we don't have as many as some other states. There's some professions here that are just unlicensed, like, as I understand it, contractors. There's not a contractor's license here in New Hampshire, but if you try to go and fix somebody's house in Florida, you're going to get arrested and charged with a felony. down there if you don't have their permission.
Even if you're just doing it for free to help somebody out, like tree work.
Yeah, after a hurricane.
We had a caller call in a couple years ago when I was on here, and he was, I got harassed and threatened by a local sheriff deputy, and he was just doing, just helping old ladies clean their yards.
Well, you don't have the permission slip, so now we might kill you over it. So getting rid of these licenses and just allowing for certifications from industries is that's the libertarian answer to this, because of course the question comes up, well, the whole point of a license ostensibly is protection. We need to make sure that these people have done a certain number of hours of study and that they've passed a test and, you know, X, Y, and Z. There's these concerns that people have, and those are legitimate concerns, but that's where certification can do that job without involving a license, where you can go to some board, some medical board that is offering voluntary certification, and you can prove to them that you know what you're doing. Or maybe you want to cut hair for a living. You can prove to, you know, this independent certifier. And they have this, of course, in businesses already. The tech field is a great example of this, where in, the programming or IT, you can go and get your, what is it, the MSE or something. Microsoft has one, and then there's another one from some other company. And these are high-level certifications. You have to know your stuff in order to be able to get this. In the restaurant business, there's ServSafe, for instance, which will certify people to know, you know, that they know what they're doing when it comes to handling food and washing hands and things like that. These are not needed. Government is not needed because the market can handle this.
You're right. For the most part, I would agree with you. And it has very strong historical precedence in the idea of having guilds, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of years ago, we had doctors' guilds and masons' guilds and, you know, craftsmen's guilds and so forth. And those guilds were basically self-regulatory. Licenses are, well, from a legal theoretical perspective, they can be considered legitimate because they extend the power of the individual and delegates it to the government so that he can be he can use that license to protect himself. So, for example, the way you got to think about it is, do you have the power to check on someone's credentials when they perform a service for you? Of course you do. So if you have the power to do that, then that's a power that you could delegate to the government. So in a sense, you could hire a doctor who is not licensed, and as long as you consent to the idea he's not licensed, you could receive whatever he would provide you.
You should be able to.
No, I think you
but
still
they
can.
They will attack that man if that is found out.
If
be charged with
if it's found out, I'm pretty sure he would be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the only person who could conceivably allow that information to go forth.
Well, but that's if he didn't put out, you know, like hang out his shingle, right? Like if he's not advertising his services, as soon as you go out there and you start advertising services to people, and that's when the feds or not feds, but the local, you know, thugs are going to pick up on
it. You become a lightning rod.
Yeah.
You're right about that. I mean, you're absolutely right. And from a practical perspective, I agree with you. But we have to think about these things in a theoretical manner so that we can see their viewpoint and use their viewpoint to kind of sidestep them.
Well, you wanted to get into the power to defend.
For example, we'll segue into that. So we know that police officers have an unlimited right, or rather privilege, to carry, let's say, however many bullets they want in their gun, right? They could have a 50-round magazine.
Yeah.
But the civilians in states like California and Massachusetts and like New Jersey, they have like a 10-round mag limit. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you suppose that works? Well, it doesn't. From a constitutional perspective, the power of those police officers come from the statutes, and those statutes are voted on and approved by the legislature. And we, the people, voted for the legislature, which means all the power came from us. So how is it that our servants, who are supposed to serve us, how are they supposed to take away our right to defend ourselves?
Because they're not really military occupation.
It doesn't,
and they're not really your servants, right? So what they're there to do is to serve the state. I mean, the idea that they are your servants is mythology.
That's true. That's true. It's all myth, and we're here to bust those myths,
right?
But first, before you bust the myth, you have to really understand
how they are thinking about it. So you can twist their own logic around so that you can sidestep the problem that you have.
Well, the wording is actually honest. When they say public servant,
right.
The definition of public, as I understand it, the way it's actually used, when you hear government people talking about public this and public that, they really are meaning government. So anytime you hear them say the word public, you substitute the word government for it. So public school, government school. I'm doing this to serve the public. No, you're serving the government. It's one of those words that, again, has in people's minds a certain connotation. When we hear public, we think, oh, that's all of us. But the reality is, it's just them. It's just their system that they're talking about. So when they say they're a public servant, they mean they serve the government. They serve that entity, not you. And not me.
Yeah, but as long as we understand as the people that we are the government, I have no problems with
that. That's the mythology, though.
That's the mythology.
And it's false.
It's false until you believe it.
Well, here's the thing. We're not. So the government essentially isn't operating. So like the city of Keene is a municipal corporation.
Sure.
But so they're all municipal corporations calling themselves governmental agencies. Says it right in their town charter. And the suffix AL on the end of a word means similar to or like. And the other thing, too, I refer to the public for years now. The public is a private religious franchise. And so all of these public franchises are, like the state of New Hampshire franchise, is franchised under the United States franchise, under the United States Corporation. So that's why, like, in fact, when I bought my house, I stamped the deed. I had to write into the deed, not for public consumption. And the lawyer who was doing the transaction was like, what does that mean? I don't want the public consuming it. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll write it in. But he was like, my job is to keep people in the box. And he was like probably the most honest lawyer I've ever talked to, you know, sort of informed. And that's like another thing that, you know, I believe might even be in like the document that you give to your license that, you know, you're not taking any benefits from the state. And you're not for public consumption. I don't know if that's one of yours, but we definitely put that in some of our documents. But yeah, the public is a private religious franchise, is basically
all the evidence all suggests that they are a religion. I mean, you look at the courts, for instance, there's a lot of religious iconography in there, and they believe in something that is superior to them, right? Like they believe that they are a part of the state of Massachusetts or the state of New Hampshire or the federal government, the quote-unquote United States. But of course, you can't point to that thing. It's just a concept. It's like essentially their God.
Well, the concept is that we are their creators, okay? It says we the people ordained and established the Constitution.
That's what they want you to think.
No. But if everybody actually thought that way, right? Because if you play into their game, then you end up winning. Because if everybody believed that they are truly the masters of their government and that the government are truly our servants, then that's reality. You manifest what we believe, or we manifest what we believe. Okay, so...
And that's just the way I treat these guys,
right.
Like they're my servants.
And I want to treat my servants well.
Because, you know, just like the way I want to treat my horses and treat my livestock, treat them well. Same thing with my servants. You should treat your servants well. But when your servants start, you know, coming against you and taking your rights away and engaging in, you know, conspiracies with and racketeering with other servants to deprive you of your rights, it's definitely a two-tiered system. And just a little more thing to back up this whole religion aspect of the state.
Yeah.
In the bogus contempt order that the social worker from DCYF filed in family court against my wife and I, at the very end, the social worker writes, I pray that this court allows me to, you know, interview child alone and, you know, inspect premises and access to medical records and other further equitable relief.
Prayer to the court happens all the time.
It says right in there, prayer to the court.
Mm-hmm.
It's a religious cult. Is what it is.
I mean, case closed, as far as I'm concerned.
So when you believe in something, it manifests itself in some way. If everybody believes in something, then it manifests itself in that way. The problem we have in this country is that people have an incorrect belief in the government. For example, I'll give you another example. People believe that the federal income tax is the federal tax on their income. Nothing is farther from the truth. It's the tax on their federal income. And if we all believe that, then what would happen is the federal income tax would truly benefit the people to whom it does not apply. And the reason it does so is for three reasons. One, because federal employees are taxed, there will be fewer people who want to go into federal service. Or when they go into federal service, they're going to demand a higher fee, a higher salary.
All employees are a federal employee. So
correct.
If you call yourself an, like,
absolutely,
like when it would, you know, Facebook years ago, you know, are you employed, self-employed, you know, whatever. I wouldn't even like self-employed. That's not me because that's a federal employee.
And the reason they do that is, again, they're in that system. They want to box everybody into what kind of employee are you? Are you self-employed or you know, you have a you earn wages, for example. That's another term for government pay. Okay.
So you're saying, just let's slow down for a moment. You're saying employee is another legal term.
It is. Okay. So at 26 United States Code 3401, an employee is an employee, an elected official, or an officer of the United States, or an officer of a corporation. Now, how many people are employees according to that specific definition? Now, if everybody had the proper and correct belief of what they are and who they are, whether they are an employee, whether they perform service, by the way, service means service to the United States, or whether they are a worker who is laboring, that's all the difference that needs to go in the minds of people between freedom and slavery. Remember, in the book, the Bible, it says, we perish, or the people perish, for a lack of knowledge. And when you misunderstand the law, when you misconstrue the written document, you set yourself up for your own enslavement. You can't go to the court and say, hey, I got a constitutional right to carry a firearm. That doesn't exist. We already discussed that, right? You go to jail for that. But if you go to the court and you say, listen, I have a right to keep and bear arms, and that's what I'm claiming.
Mm-hmm.
They get so scared they would not bring that information in front of a jury. That tells you you're on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Now, again, everything is about belief. So if we believe in the proper and if we believe in what the government actually tries to tell us, that they're there to serve us, and if everybody believes that, then, in fact, they shall serve us. You see?
I don't know, man. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree that, you know, we do manifest our own reality.
Right.
But, of course, we know that everyone's not going to believe the same thing. That's something that is never going to happen because people are different, right? Like, they're inherently, they believe different things. We see tremendous divisions in people across the United States as far as what they believe to be true, whether it be about the government or about, you know.
And a lot of that is manipulated by the media and the schools and the educational system and by the churches and all these institutions out there.
Yeah, I mean, if people believed what you were saying, and I think what you're saying is true about the federal income tax being only a tax on federal
income
working for or on behalf of the federal government in some way, then we would see juries letting people go on tax charges. But instead, juries believe that, well, I pay income tax, so everybody's got to pay income tax. So it doesn't matter, you know, what you show them. It doesn't matter what you tell them. In my case, in the Crypto 6 case, which you came to many of the days of, they charged me with tax evasion. And in order to prove tax evasion legally, they have to show certain things. I don't have the jury instructions in front of me, so I'm not going to read the exact things that they have to prove. But ultimately, one of the things that is true about, you know, what they have to prove is they had to prove that I actually tried to evade a tax that I believed that I owed.
Well, you don't. You're not subject to that tax.
Right. I had no belief that I owed that. I did not believe there was any duty to pay that tax. I'm a minister with the church, and I had no belief in that. I explained this when I took the stand, but it didn't matter one bit to that jury because they don't care about what the law actually says. They don't care about what it actually really means. They don't care about what the jury instructions said. I think, and we don't know because we haven't been able to interview the jurors, but if we were able to talk to them, I suspect if they were being honest, they would say, hey, look, I have to pay taxes.
Right.
Everybody's got to pay taxes. So, screw this guy.
So the reason they have that that problem or that belief in their mind is because of over 100 years of the government and school systems telling them that you need to pay your federal income tax.
It's a fair share.
Which, by the way, the statement that you need to pay your federal income tax, that statement is 100% true. And it means you need to pay the tax on your federal income.
What is that, though?
And if you don't have federal income, then it's zero multiplied by whatever. It's still zero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, again, if we all believe, if the people have knowledge, then we will not perish from the earth. And that's what I advocate. I advocate that we tell the people the truth. We prove it to them by the statute. Okay, look, there it is. That word wages, dude, that word wages mean what an employee gets from his employer, where an employee is a government employee, and an employer is someone who receives service from an employee.
Now, wait a minute, didn't you say the definition of employee also included corporate persons, or whatever?
And that's very true, because the word...
Most of these people work for corporations, so doesn't that mean they're employees?
No, that doesn't, because it only applies to corporate officers, not your regular wage collector. A corporate officer is one who has a say in where that the corporation goes and has shares in that corporation.
Oh, okay. So your typical associate on a retail floor isn't an officer.
Your typical Walmart worker is not a Walmart officer.
They don't get nothing,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
They get a paycheck.
Okay.
And then they get defrauded because Walmart is defrauding them by bearing false witness against them. Walmart is saying that they received services and that they were paid wages. By the way, the word service, remember what we were talking about in the Constitution? Some words can't be redefined by the statute. Well, service is one of those words. Service means service of the United States. I want you to go to Article 1, all right? Article 1 says, congressmen shall be paid for what?
Service.
Their services. Article 2 says the president shall be paid for his what?
Services.
Article 3 said judges of the Supreme Court shall be paid for their what?
Services. To the United States.
Mm-hmm. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 16 says the militia shall be called into actual what?
Service.
Service of the United States, right?
Mm.
And what kind of service do we know, like, from living in America? All right, we know we have military service, postal inspection service, marshal service, Internal Revenue Service, Weather Service, Ocean Service, Indian and you know, Immigration Naturalization Services. There's a hundreds of services.
Sure, Child Protection Service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So every service that you can name is a government service.
It's a benefit.
It's a benefit. So when you say, I got wages, like some fool, okay, then you look up that word wages and you'll realize that wages means remuneration for services. That's the definition of wages at 26 U.S.C. 3401, remuneration for services. And the question is, did you perform a service? And if you know the correct answer for that, then you've lawfully either paid your taxes for performing a service to the United States or avoided paying a taxes because what you've done is nothing more than labor, right? Labor is different from service.
Very different, you're saying. Okay.
Yes. In fact, I have a constitutional.
Is this something, before we go on, this information, it's really interesting. Is it something that the average Walmart person or laborer or whatever can put into effect? I mean, because if you're in this corporate environment, there's usually no opting out of, you know, getting out of this system, right? Like you, I mean, don't you just basically have to be an entrepreneur to get out of this? You know what I mean? Like, what can you actually do with this
information? So I know a guy. I haven't talked to him in probably 7 or 8 years, but he's a pilot for United Airlines. I'm sorry, FedEx.
Okay.
Commercial airliner pilot. Worked for FedEx. And he doesn't have a Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, you know, he corrected his status from a federal United States citizen to a, you know, a citizen of New Hampshire. I'm sorry, Connecticut. He's from Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't deduct any taxes. He actually threatened, they were really? Going to fire him, and he threatened to sue HR. I know another guy who's a CDL truck driver. He worked for Old Dominion Freightways, and he's like, hey, why are you taking, you know, I don't work for wages. And he went through the whole thing. In fact, this guy I'm talking about right now is probably listening to the show. He's still a truck driver, doesn't work for Old Dominion anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he works for a company, I forget what he told me. But anyways, Clint, how are you, if you're listening? Anyways, and he's getting all of his pay. They didn't remove anything from his paycheck.
Really?
And he basically
did send him a notice or something?
Yeah, he did send him notices. He sent him the appropriate, like, subcontractor, substitute 1099 or W-9, kind of form. So you can substitute the W-9. And actually, I've done that several times with contractors. Now, my case, I'm sort of a valuable skill, so people, they'll sort of jump through the hoops because they want my attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want my time. I almost said service. But, you know, they want my time.
Your labor.
Yeah.
Your labor, yeah.
So anyways, but I know of several scenarios where people have, you know, worked diligently, done their homework, did a bunch of stuff, and they go to the HR department, and finally what happens is the lawyers in HR say, hey, listen, this guy's going to sue the crap out of us, so you just need to, you know, do what's going on. And this is, you know, FedEx, Old Dominion, Freightways. In fact, there was another guy that he just did this as an example with McDonald's years ago in California. I forget his name, but it was something I was in high school, you know, but listening to something about, you know, this guy doing this just with McDonald's, just that, as a point. And McDonald's paid him his, you know, $11 an hour or $8 an hour or whatever it
was. Taking taxes.
Without taking any taxes out. And they were like, they were difficult about it because nobody there knows how to do that stuff. But yeah, FedEx, it wasn't really a big deal. And Old Dominion Freightways, it wasn't really a big deal for these guys.
All right. So for the viewers out there, what we're really describing here is something called the operation of law. All right, I want you to imagine a scene where you go into Walmart and you're wearing a hat.
And we'll find out what that scene is coming up here in moments. And you can join us as well. Maybe you've successfully implemented some of these ideas. You have worked at these corporate jobs and have managed to do the things we're talking about. We'd love to hear your story as well. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Hour number 3 is coming up. You can join the show here on Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets. 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.